introduce my brother Bill here. My brother in the Lord.
I love you. Love you, Kirk.
You know, God has given us really some great men. And I'm not saying that like they're better than anybody else, but I really appreciate the men that God's brought into our church to help do the work of the Lord, and pray that He continues to bring strong men who can lead their families and, you know, bring guidance to their children and so on. And Bill's just been a blessing to me. He's one of the elders here at our church. And
most of the time.
No, you are a blessing. And he always has great insight from the Word of the Lord, and the Lord uses him in very, very powerful ways. And so I just want to honor you this morning, my brother.
Don't heap this up too high. Thanks, Kirk. Thank you.
God bless you.
Love you.
I love you, too. I know you do.
Let's welcome Bill Pack.
I always get excited Sunday morning. Laying in bed when I wake up, I love coming here. I just wonder what's going to happen, what the Lord's going to do, who's going to get healed. Is He going to rebuke me? What kind of prophecy? I mean, it's exciting when you know it's real. It's so exciting. And I got to settle down so I can preach on this, so I don't talk about everything else that's in my mind right now. I wanted to give a special thanks to somebody, Jason Armstrong. I went back to get a glass of water, so when I got dry, I could take a sip. He says, don't go get any water. He says, I bless you this morning. He gave me a Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper's my favorite. Yeah, he really did. Can you believe that? Oh, how could this turn out anything but good? I'm going to speak to you this morning, give you an exhortation, word of encouragement. And we're going to look at the relationship that Jesus offers you. That's what we're going to look at. The relationship that Jesus offers you. And this come about because of months of prophecies, months of words of exhortation. And I really listen to them. I take them to heart. And over the months, you'll probably recall, He has said, come close to me. Come and know me. Come closer. I want to be with you. There was something, now I respect, enjoy, and honor all the spiritual gifts that anybody that's used. But last Sunday and this Sunday were special to me. Last Sunday when Cheryl came down and gave that last exhortation, I had not heard it said before in this church. Maybe it had been, I missed it, but I can't remember a prophecy or an exhortation. The last thing she said was, Jesus says He wants to be your friend. I'll tell you, it really struck me. And then the prophecy, the interpretation of the tongue, Hannah's exhortation, they all had to do with Jesus offering His relationship. So I really thank the Lord for the setup. It's incredible. You know, you can't make this stuff up. In the past, over my Christian walk and ministering to a lot of the guys down at the steel mill and I run into a lot of new Christians. I've had them come to me and say, and maybe there's some in here, you went through this. What do I call Him when I pray? What name do I use? I see some of you smiling. Evidently, you identify with this. Do I say Father? Father God? Lord? Lord Jesus? Jesus? Jesus Christ? Christ? Christ Jesus? What do I call Him? That's a legitimate question. Others in the Bible called Him Lord, teacher, son of David, rabbi. He called Himself Jesus the Christ. Usually when I pray, I end up probably out of habit, and my relationship. I call Him Heavenly Father. Most of the time, I call Him Lord Jesus. And sometimes I just call Him Lord, but mostly Lord Jesus. Trying to give honor because of who He is and His position, But there was a time, there are times I've just screamed out, Jesus. I'm not going to go through the whole story. I've told it so many times here. But the time I went to sleep on my motorcycle, 1 o'clock in the morning coming home from work. I went to sleep at 60 miles an hour, woke up with my head down. When I lift my head, I failed to negotiate a turn, went into a ditch at 60. And I want to tell you, I didn't start out like people teach you. You must come into his place in praise first. Over my Christian walk, I've been told how many ways and things I should say before I come to talk to him. And I didn't say, Dear Heavenly Father. Well, I'll tell you, I can't scream to you the way I screamed at night. But I just, as I lifted my head, I was already headed into the ditch. And it was instinctive. I just screamed out, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. I don't know how many times. I just kept screaming at it. It was a rough ride in that ditch at 60, I'm going to tell you. I couldn't see. I just remember being beat. And in the middle of screaming, Jesus, help me, it's like somebody clipped the film in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm from the ditch bouncing around 60. I'm up on the highway doing about 15 miles an hour, screaming, Jesus, help me. I'll tell you, it was wild, really wild. And you know, he never rebuked me for just calling him Jesus. He never admonished me and said, you know, you should call me Lord. he never did that. So from that time on, I've called him probably Jesus more than anything else. I feel comfortable with that. Now I'm going to go through, before I get to this paramounted point in this, again, we're talking about the relationship Jesus offers you. I want to go through some things to just briefly explain God, explain Jesus. You know, you can't have a relationship with somebody you don't know. And I know most of you know him, but I want to bring out some attributes and some things in his character between him and God. And then I'll deliver the rest of it. I want to draw your attention to some of the things Jesus said about him and his father. I mean, they were mind blowers. If you live back in the day to hear him say these things, it was a real mind blower. In John 10:30, he says, I and my Father are one. Wow. Matthew 1:23, they said, call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. Is that wild? Now, I'm going to just twist your brain a little bit this morning. In John 8:56, I want to read this because I can't quote this. I don't have it memorized. This is really cool. He's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and anybody else that'll listen, and most of them didn't believe. And this is what he says in the middle of his conversation, John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham? Oh, he's wowing them out. he's got them to have a grip. They got a grip. And Jesus said to them, get this. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. They're ready to stone him. Do you realize, see, when Moses went to the burning bush and the Lord was giving him a chore to do, a command, a job, and he goes, who in the world do I say who sent me? Who do I tell him you are? And God said, I am. You tell him, I am sent you. Jesus is saying, I am. That's right. They're beside themselves. It didn't compute. This is the son of a carpenter. That's the claim Jesus made. And my favorite, I got to read this too because I don't have the whole thing memorized. I'll slaughter it. John 14. This is really neat. We'll start about 6. Now, Jesus is preparing the disciples. You know, he's going to be leaving soon. And he's getting them ready. And Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. Now, I have that one memorized. I don't want you to think I don't know any of it. It's the rest of the content I don't have memorized. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Now he's speaking to the disciples. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip says, just show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Enough of this mystery. Enough of these sayings and these proverbs. Just show us the Father, will you? I mean, can you imagine what's coming out of his gut at this point? I mean, he's already seen enough to believe in that Jesus is something that he says he is. But just show us the Father. Oh, Jesus says, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show me the Father? Man. Now, I know at Jesus' baptism, there was a voice came from heaven. So God the Father was in heaven. And I know Jesus, the Son of God, was in the flesh, so he was down here. I know there was a voice, or the dove came down, the Spirit of God came down as a dove. There's a Trinity. Explain it, because I can't. Is that cool? But one thing's for sure, they all three have the same attributes. I don't know how the mix goes. One's here, one's there, one's there, one's in you. One's listening to you. I've been saved. I've been saved 39 years, 41 years. I don't understand that. To this day, I don't understand it. But they all have the same attributes. There's nothing different about any of them. The three of them, the three in one. No difference. Have you ever, I'm sure most of you have, if you watch any television at all, a year or so ago, Sears used to have this commercial, the soft side of Sears. Anybody ever see that? Oh, come on. The soft side of Sears. I know more than a couple of you have heard that. Sears had this commercial. You know, Sears is known for, yeah, y'all want to make me think you don't watch TV. Sears had this commercial. You know, they do wrenches and tools and tractors, lawnmowers. But evidently, their sales on their clothing and their ladies' items were falling. So they come up with this commercial, the soft side of Sears. Why sometimes think that people think that Jesus is the soft side of God? God's judgment, Jesus' grace. I hear that in conversation, and I want to show you something. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. But I'd like to show this to you anyhow. In Genesis 4:8, if you don't look up anything, look at this one with me. Genesis 4:8. I want to show you a sign of God. You know, he gets a bad rap for all this hard judgment. I think that's where, yeah, Genesis 4:8. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. Now, Cain talked with Abel. You know, it was told Cain if he brought a proper sacrifice, he would be accepted. He didn't. He's jealous over his brother Abel. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord God said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I his keeper? And he said, what have you done? This is the Lord speaking. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great that I can't bear it. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it shall happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Well, the Lord made sure that didn't happen. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after his name of his son Enoch. Cain killed his brother in cold blood. Cold blood over jealousy. eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. I either thought God would have just said, hey, that's it, buddy, bam. No, much grace, much mercy, very much mercy. And then, look at this. When the Lord asked him, where's your brother? He doesn't only lie to him, he gives him lip. That's about the most ignorant thing I've ever heard anybody in the Word of God tell the Lord. Am I his keeper? Now, he didn't do that. I don't know. I'm sure he didn't say, well, am I his keeper? Like, am I really? No. He was being a snot nose. That was ignorant what he said to the Lord. So what the Lord does, he doesn't give him probably the judgment he should get. He should receive death. He doesn't do that. He skips over the lie and the bad mouth. And then he complains about his punishment. And the Lord says, okay, maybe it's a little too harsh. And he changes it. Now, is that incredible? And then the Lord allows him to go on and have a wife and enjoy her and have a family. Now, I don't know about you. All I see is mercy, kindness. That's what I see. I'm not going to read any others, but I just want to set a standard here. If you read Jeremiah, first three or four chapters, it's incredible how the Lord just cuts Israel slack. He humbles himself as the Almighty God, and he gets down almost as if on his knees and says, please repent. Please repent. It's incredible. I think the same thing I'm trying to think through Amos, the book of Amos. You'll find the same thing that God changes his judgment because a man stepped and said, please don't do that. So the Old Testament's full of that. Now, the soft side, Jesus. Yeah, right. New Testament, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira, the beginning of the church. The grace age, the mercy age. They lied to the disciples about selling ground because there was such a multitude had gotten saved. And people were selling everything and bringing their money and putting it at the feet of the apostles. And so what happens to Ananias and Sapphira? They say, hey, you know, we got a lot of ground here. This is worth a lot of money. We shouldn't give it all. But I hate to think that they think we didn't give it all because everybody else is. Yeah, so the husband came in and lied. I think he came in first, didn't he? He came in and lied. He says, yeah, this is all of it. And I think it was Peter said to him, hey, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. Phew, bam. Paul's dead to carry him out. Wife comes in a little bit later, says, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Bam. Talk about grace and mercy. You'd have thought that was Old Testament. And Jesus, do you know the judgment reserved for Jesus to make? Jesus is going to make the judgment. He is going to do the judging, it says. I think that's in John 5:22. The Father, it says, for the Father judges no one, but commits all judgment to the Son. All three have the same attributes. It just all depends where your mind is and what you're reading. You read it, you might see something different. And because of what people say, you draw different kind of conclusions. Now I want to take just a minute, take a little sidetrack here. I want to talk about mysteries. Do you know the Bible talks about mysteries? Pretty neat. The greatest mystery, Romans 16, 25 and 26, it's talking about salvation. It says it was hidden, it was a mystery clear to since the beginning of days, clear to this point. You know, the prophets prophesied about the coming of the Lord, and they didn't understand it. They didn't understand a person would be born again, the Spirit of God would be birthed in them. The angels look down from heaven, and they're going, man, what's he doing now? How's he doing this? It says they look down and wanting to know. It was a mystery. How good of a secret and a mystery can God keep? Well, he ran the children of Israel around a mountain for how many years? I think it was only, a short trek. Things stay a mystery when God wants them to stay a mystery. They stay a mystery, or they stay a secret. He can do that. He did that with salvation up until the time Christ came and was made known about the birth of Christ and how people can be born again and saved, now he died for the world. Greatest mystery there ever was. 1 Corinthians 15, 5. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, means die, but we shall all be changed. When this whole thing comes to an end, and the Antichrist is set up, and judgment, and the whole deal, everybody's not going to die. That's what it says. But it's a great mystery. We'll all be changed. It actually says, or later on in Corinthians, it says that we're going to have a body like Jesus had. That's pretty wild. See, right now you have a body made of terrestrial things, the earth. You can buy every component probably in a drugstore you're made out of. It's pretty wild. As a side note, I saw on television years ago an experiment. It was a serious thing, too. They were putting all the mixtures of the human body in this thing and shooting electric to it, trying to make a person. Talk about the wisdom of the world. Ephesians 1:9. It talks about a husband loving his wife, a wife submitting to her husband. And as it goes on, it says, but we're talking about Christ in a church. Then he says, this is not only a mystery, it's a great mystery. A great mystery. We get a lot of things out, but I wonder what the whole thing is about. That was written in the New Testament. Great mystery. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 1:9 is talking about having the mystery of his will being made known. His will, to some people, is a real mystery. And it was a mystery for a long time until Christ made known salvation and then his will being made known to people. Now, this one doesn't say mystery, but I really like it. It's like a mystery. Proverbs 25:2. It says, it's the glory of God to conceal something. It's the glory of kings to search it out. Do you know he hides stuff in the Word? You know, he doesn't reveal everything at one time. He expects us to search things out. Ask Rayo. Rayo can tell you things he prayed and dug out for years and all of a sudden, pop. I remember Kirk telling us the first time I ever heard about the fivefold ministry, how it was a revelation. Look what Jesus has brought. This is what's going on in church. And when they started calling people apostles again, people weren't ashamed to say, hey, I'm an apostle. It's called by God. Man, what a mystery. I want to read this one to you. This is the last one about mysteries. 1 Timothy 3. Remember I told you the three in one, the Trinity, how confusing that is to me. Just when you think you got a handle on it because you know things you read and somebody asks you a question. I can only explain through Scripture. And when you get away from Scripture, you just slaughter it. 1 Timothy 3:16. I love this Scripture. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. I told you. God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus the Son. Justified in the Spirit. Seen by angels. Preached among the Gentiles. Believed on in the world and received up in the glory. Now he's not saying salvation's a mystery. He's saying this thing's a mystery. God came in the flesh. God's up here. God's down here in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit comes in you. I want to tell you, I'm glad to know these guys feel like I do. There's a lot more mysteries. Now I want to talk about two people who had an extraordinary relationship with the Lord. Moses is one of them. In Exodus 33:11, it says that the Lord spoke to him face to face like he would a friend. That's cool, isn't it? I mean, you didn't hear that back in the Old Testament. Now, he didn't literally speak to him face to face. Evidently, I didn't look all that. It must mean person to person because God tells him, Moses actually says, hey, I want to see your glory. Can you imagine how close he must have felt to the Lord in relationship to start asking this stuff? I want to see your glory. Lord says, well, okay. Can't see my face. No living man can see my face. He'll die. He says, but I'll let you see my glory. He says, Moses, there's a rock right here. It must have been a large rock. He says, I'm gonna push you back in the cleft of that rock, and I'm gonna walk by. And as I walk by, this is God, the I am. This is I am. The one of us at the burning bush. I mean, this is the I am. It's talking to him. He says, as I go by, I'm going to put my hand over your face so you can't see mine. Then I'll walk by and I'll move my hand and you can look at my backside. I'm going to tell you, if you let that seep in, wow. Moses has got to see, literally got to look at the embodiment of the I am. I have a hard time wrapping my head around the Trinity. This I have a hard time wrapping my head around. Abraham in James 2:23. I don't have that memorized either. I do have scripture memorized, but not these ones. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Wow. Remember when the Lord was going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? I love that story. It says three men come walking down the road. Well, was one the Lord and two angels, or was it the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If you haven't figured out, let me know. I really don't understand. I don't know. But it said he spoke, he addressed him as Lord. And he felt comfortable enough to fix him something to eat, sit down, talk to him, and then to walk with him and interrogate him and to talk him into not killing everybody. I mean, do you realize the relationship that would have to be able to propose yourself on the I am like that? Quite a relationship. Now, I want you to see the relationship that Jesus offers us. I cannot paramount this. I can't do anything except tell you this. I hope the Spirit of God does to you in your heart what He's done to mine. You know, you've made Him your Lord. You've made Him Savior. The guide of your life. You become a servant to Jesus Christ. That's all good. That's excellent. That's wonderful. But Jesus offers something even deeper. Last Sunday, when Cheryl came down here and exhorted and said, Jesus wants to be your friend, I thought, man. And then today, the interpretation of the tongue, Hannah's exhortation, and the prophecy all had to do with Jesus offering Himself to us. If you don't turn to any scripture, turn to this today, John 15. Let me get there. Go to John 15, 14. Jesus is saying, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. He's not only offered a lordship, a kingship. He's not only offered to be the guide in your life. He's actually offering a friendship. I don't know about you. This is the I am. The I am. Sometimes people sort it out. They split it. This is Jesus. This is God. No, this is the I am of the Old Testament. The I am of the New Testament. He's saying, I want to call you friend. I want to tell you I don't have my head wrapped around that yet. I really don't. I don't talk to him like he's a good friend because of my reverence. There's times I get close, but since I saw this, I'm telling you, I've just been perplexed. He did say it. He says it. I'm offering you my friendship. He goes on to say, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. He did that to the disciples. He does that to us. It says by the Holy Spirit, He'll speak to us and make even the future known. He did that in this church. Kirk was getting ready to go buy a building one day. Paul was the head pastor here. Kirk would never have the audacity to say, I want to be pastor here. He knew that. That was gone. So when he said, I'm going to go buy a church, I think I'm going to do this. I said, we ought to just maybe pray and fast a little bit. And the Lord didn't give me any insight. It was just like, maybe we ought to do this for him. And the Spirit of God spoke to my wife. I think she was the maybe second or third one. No, Paul knew, his wife knew, and Kirk knew. Spoke to her and said, hey, I'm moving Paul. You know, he's going to take on a ministry. I'm going to make Kirk preacher. Linda told me that. I said, don't tell nobody for 6 months. He treats us like a friend. Is that incredible? Call the president. Call the prime minister of Israel. Call Kate and what's the guy's name just had the baby? In England? William. Call him and say, would you please be my friend? Oh, yeah. I'm not putting them people down, but that's not where their humility is. But one better. Why don't you call the president or the guy that owns the Colts, Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Pirates, the Raiders. Call the owner of them. You know, a lot of you people have given a lot of loyalty to them. And money, haven't you? Yeah. Call them and say, I'd like to be your friend. Would you be my friend? And yet, the I am of the Old Testament, the I am of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's offering. I'm telling you, when the Lord opened my eyes up to this, I just sat there dumbfounded. I mean, I have somewhat of a close relationship with the Lord. He speaks to me about a lot of stuff. He rebukes me. He encourages me. He tells me things that are going to happen on my rental property. He speaks to me about my marriage. But I don't have this. Evidently, he has extended that to me. And in my dull mind, I've not seen it. But I see it now. So I tell him, Lord, I want that. I want that friendship. I don't know if I'll ever be able to talk to him like a buddy. Because out of disrespect. But it's kind of nice to know that on his end, he is extending not only lordship, not only kingship, not only savior, but a friend. When I read this, these other things started making sense to me that I read. Like 2 Chronicles 9:16. I love that verse. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro all over the earth, looking to see who's loyal to him, that he can show himself strong in their behalf. What is the one thing between, if you had to come up with any word, one of the words to describe a friendship? Loyalty. Loyalty. He says, well, if you're loyal to him, this is what he's going to do for you. That's a friendship. Kings and princesses and prime ministers and presidents don't do this. They just don't do this. God Almighty humbles himself to say, I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to tell you everything my father tells me. I'm going to tell you everything that I know. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to tell you about the future. I'm like, I don't have English words or much else to describe the wonderfulness of this. The wonderfulness that to think, Jesus. See, I struggle in my relationship with the Lord just like anybody else. Sometimes I feel distant. Sometimes I feel close. Sometimes I feel very close. Sometimes I wonder what he thinks about me. And he's told me. He's told me what he thinks about me. Sometimes with things that he didn't like. Other times he told me things that I like. I was driving down the road the other day in my truck coming to church. And I got feeling bad about, you know, as an elder, what you do, if your heart's in the right place, you always feel bad about not pulling the rope. You always think the other guys are doing more than you. You always think, man, I can't let them be doing any more than I'm doing. And isn't a pride thing? It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the camaraderie. It has to do with them putting themselves out. I'm coming down the road thinking, Lord, I'm not doing nothing. I'm so busy. I'm not doing enough of this. I'm not doing enough of that. And I need time to pray more. And the Spirit of God intervened in my conversation. He said, Bill, if only I was looking at you, do you think I'd be pleased? And I thought, I said, yeah, I think you would. He goes, I am. He actually told me that. Sue Paxson called me yesterday. She said she had three times a word from the Lord. She goes, by the third time, she thought she should call me. It was, Bill, I'm pleased with you. Oh, you don't have any idea how good that felt. I'm telling you, because you just feel like you come up short. Kings and princesses and priests and legislators don't do that. They don't care. But our God has humbled himself enough to call us friend. I've already gone past all my notes. I think I'm about done. You know, it's incredible. It's an incredible thing that the one that created everything, the one that died for us, walked on water, crawled in the furnace with the three Hebrew guys. It's amazing enough by itself when you think about it as an adult. If you didn't have the convincing power of the Holy Spirit coming in you, like I think it's in Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. If he didn't do something like that to verify the reality of this relationship, it'd be hard to swallow. But after that happening, you can't do anything but swallow it because you know it's real. And to think it gets better and better and better. And for months, the Lord has told us, come to me, come to me, come to me. And I thought it just needed some attention, especially after I run into this. Would y'all stand? I wish I had a bigger climax, something to, you know, but it'll be up to the Spirit of the Lord to show you in your heart what he wants to do with you, what he wants to be to you. And it's incredible to think the I Am of the Old and New Testament would say, I want to be your friend. It's something he said, if you do what I say, if you keep my commandments. You know, this is full of commandments. New Testament tells us what he wants out of us. And then he tells us individually what he wants. If you're distant to the Lord, you don't feel closeness, the first thing I would check is your obedience. Compare it to Scripture and compare it to your relationship to things he's told you. That's the first thing I'd check. I don't know an exciting way to end this. Can I pray for all of you? I want to pray for me too. That the Spirit of God gives us revelation to the relationship he's offering us. That's what I want to give. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I got so excited. You know, I've read that so many times over my Christian walk. And how I didn't catch that. And the day your Holy Spirit caused me to see that, I just about come out of my skin, Lord. To think you would use that kind of terminology and to mean those things to us. Lord, I'd ask you, by your Holy Spirit, that you're the only one that can give revelation, you're the only one that can give insight. I ask you to do that with our church here, with these people, Lord, that they might be able to further and deepen the relationship with you. Jesus, thank you for being so good to us. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, thanks for laughing at the funny things I said, and thanks for listening to the serious stuff. If you have a prayer need, if you have never given your life to the Lord, and you even just want to ask some questions, interrogate one of us about it, come on up. If you have a physical need, we'd like to pray for you. So, be dismissed. Yeah.